Hey everybody, welcome to another one of these. This could be a lost episode. So here's the situation. I went down to Denver to volunteer today, and now I'm driving back home, except I went a back way, which I usually do, but this back way, I ended up even more back way than I had anticipated. And now I'm on what is definitely a dirt road, except it's covered in snow, because it's the holidays. So I'm driving like 20 miles an hour, and I had turned off, you know, GPS on the phone. It was like, oh, go this way, down this road. And I was like, all right, can do. And I start going down, and then I look at the thing, and it's like the next direction says, and then you're going to go, you know, a half mile down this road and then turn around, which I was like, well, the road that I'm on, this tiny road that I'm just using to turn around, is like 100 times more treacherous than the road I was even on, which is fairly treacherous, but not horrifically so. And then the one I got on was like the worst of all time. So it was just like, what the fuck, GPS? Like, sometimes, I think sometimes GPS is just like, maybe it's trying to teach me a lesson. You know, it's like, oh, you think this is bad? Wait till they get a load of me. Let's send him down this road, because then when he gets back on the regular road, he'll be like, well, shit, I should just be thankful I'm not on that little crap road right now. It was also going to send me back the way I came quite a ways. And using the map on the GPS, it looks like if I just keep going the way I'm going, which is the way to my home anyway, I will end up on the righteous path here, with a possible road that I could turn on, and then that might be like a bigger road, or like a, you know, a legitimate road, which is where I'm getting to now. I'll tell you this, the road I'm coming up to does not have a stop sign, but a yield sign, which, you know, that's like, oh, okay. That's not a great sign. Yield, not a great sign. But straight ahead says non-maintained road, so I guess I'll take the turn. And there are tire tracks this way, so that's a plus. Somebody else has gone this way for some reason. So maybe we'll get somewhere, who knows. But I, you know what, I got new tires this week, so that was a good fucking decision. Welcome to this show. We were gone for a little while. I was sick as fuck. Peter David Dirk was sick as fuck. What did I have? I don't know. Everyone's like, what did you have? And I'm like, I don't know. And then they're like, well, did you have a sore throat? And I was like, yeah, okay. When I get sick, here's what happens. I have a sore throat for a while. I have a runny nose and sinus shit. And then I cough and fever throughout. That's every time. Very rarely do I get sick. You know, I don't know if I've thrown up or diarrhea really from being sick in like a long, long time. For some reason, that's just not how my body reacts to sickness. So I guess that's a good thing. But maybe that's the problem. Maybe I'm not like vomiting and diarrhea-ing out the sickness the way I should be. Maybe that's why it takes me like 8 years to recover. Because Poon Master Flex got what I had. I stayed home from work for, well, I had 2 days off, and then, seven days, something like that. Like, I should have gone back to work on Wednesday, and I went back to work the following Wednesday. So there you go. And even then, I didn't feel perfect, right? So that's like, I mean, I'm still sick. I don't know if I'm sure I still sound sick, but I am still sick, and yet, Poon Master Flex got what I had, obviously, and then she got sick on Wednesday night. She stayed home from work Thursday, and part of Friday. And now it's Saturday. Saturday, she was feeling fine. She got up early to go stand outside in the snow and work at the college graduation. So there you go. Like, day three of sickness, full day three, she's like back in action, you know, ready to rock. And I'm on like day fucking 12, and it's like, I mean, it's 10 to 5, and I could probably just go to bed rather than just being driving in this frozen wasteland. This is horrible, by the way, and terrible. Also, my recorder only has one battery, so this could become the lost tapes, you know? This recorder, I discovered recently, has an interesting tick, which is that if it runs out of battery, it doesn't have the self-preservation to be like, oh, well, I'm shutting down. Let's write this to disk and get the fuck out of here. It's just like, that shit's gone. It's sort of like if you were recording something and your computer just immediately shut down for no reason and it would be gone. Or you were doing a document that you'd never saved, it would just be gone. There are all these little birds in the road that I think I'm going to kill. I don't really want to kill the birds. I don't know why they're resting in the tire tracks, you know? I mean, I kind of do, because it seems a little nicer than not doing that, but I think we'll keep going straight. So I was sick as hell, and my God, was it terrible. Now, here's something that I would like to talk about. You know what everybody does at work is they get sick as hell, they take 2 days off, and then they come back still sick as hell. And I guess I could be partially guilty for that, although I was gone for like, I don't know, 10 days or whatever. And also, so I read up online because I was like, everyone kept saying this to me. And I kept telling people like, go home if you're sick. Go home. I'd rather you went home and I had to cover something for you than you came here and got me sick. Because I think I spend probably like 50 days a year like pretty uncomfortably sick. And would just not like to do that whenever possible. So everyone was coming in, and here's what they would say. Oh, I'm not contagious anymore. And I was like, really? And why would you say that? You know, and it's like, well, I don't feel as sick, you know? And it's like, okay, when do you think you're the most contagious? And if you ask that question of people, here's the answer they'll give you. Sometime in the past, you know, not now. When was I the most contagious? A time that wasn't now was probably when I was the most contagious, right? And it's like, okay, here's what I read. It said, consensus amongst many articles. This was like one of those Google searches where you're like, there's no real consensus on this because the answer is like, you cannot answer that for a stranger. Like a doctor on the internet can't just be like, ah, everyone's well after 8 days or something. But the consensus seemed pretty strong to most people are better 2 days after the peak of their sickness. So if I peaked on Tuesday, I'd be contagious Wednesday and Thursday and probably wouldn't be contagious on Friday. Hey, there's a car going the other way. Well, that's something. A truck. A huge truck. 2 days after the peak is when you would be non-contagious anymore, right? But then it was like quick caveat, like, hey, by the way, every single person is different. Sometimes someone gets a cold that lasts for a week. Someone else can get that cold that lasts for a month. It just depends. And I'm here to tell you, I'm one of the people who it lasts a month. And I really wish people would be a little bit more like fast and loose about, not fast and loose. Slow and tight about not coming back into work until they were well. Because it's like, holy fuck, you know? I just know I'm going to get sick when half the people you work with are coming back in and they're just like, oh, I feel so sick. And I'm like, go home. Go home. Don't touch anything. Go home. But anyway, that's a thing. That's something to know. When you get sick. But I don't know, if you've got the sick time, because I've got the sick time. I know not everyone has the sick time, okay? But if you've got the sick time, fucking stay home. Because what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You stay home for a day and you're like, ah, I could have worked today. Well, okay, then just, you know, run some errands and shit. Just be like, all right, I'll do a get caught up on life day. Clean the house. If, you know, God forbid you just think, I'll probably be sick tomorrow. Might as well just, like, not plan on not going to work. Get some shit done around the house if I feel great, and if I'm sick, then I'll just fucking still be home. It's perfect. That's the perfect plan. The perfect plan is not, well, I think I could probably drag my fucking semi-animated corpse through a day at work. I think I could survive. Oh my god, there's a stop sign. This is a good sign. Stop sign. Good sign, get it? That's not a good joke. And I did it already with the yield sign. But nonetheless, there's a thing happening, and I'm pretty happy about it. Now, the question is, do I go left or straight? You know what I mean? What's the best thing to do at this point? We come to these crossroads. I'll see you at the crossroads. Gonna miss everybody. Let's see. I'm gonna consult my map. My Waze map, where the little ghost tells me where to go. According to this, I should turn on 88th Avenue to the right, which is, again, the opposite direction that I'm trying to travel. This is like sending me, I think, to the wrong place. I think this wants me to go, like, to some crazy motherfucking place. Unless I just somehow drove past my home. I don't know. I guess that's possible, right? I may have gone too far. Peter, this time, you've gone too far. All right. Well, maybe I'll just follow these directions because I'm tired of being lost on the snowy byways of Colorado. Sucks about the snow, I'm going to tell you right now, is like... I love the snow, I love the cold weather, I love that stuff. However, I don't love that we finally got this snow, and then it was like, hey dudes, so listen, we have a problem where basically there's one Saturday a month where you have to drive to Denver. And that's the day we're going to need to do the snow thing. So that's going to happen. I don't like that part. And I'm not even on the level of like, oh, I just want to stay in and cuddle up with a fucking can of soup or whatever. I'm just saying I could do without the... Jesus Christ, you guys. I could do without the... The drive, I could do without what's happening to my life right now. I remembered a story last night that I was like, oh, this is a story from my past that I don't know if I've ever told on the podcast before. Which is super interesting to me because, like, I listen to a lot of other shows. And I find, oh, did you hear Serial's back? Serial is back. Serial... the podcast that redefined a generation by turning Law and Order into a podcast. And also, can I tell you something that made me think fuck Serial? S-E-R-I-A-L? Because I feel like I'm pronouncing it like the food. I didn't like how in Serial... So Serial was this show where the entire season was about this crime, and it was like kind of unclear whether the person who was convicted and imprisoned committed the crime. And so each episode kind of goes through a different thing. You know, they go through, like, the alibis. They go through, like, what the court said happened. They go through, like, what the, you know, defense said happened. All that shit. And it had, like, with this main host. And, you know, she went to all this stuff. And she talked to the guy who was convicted on the phone and all this stuff. And so at the end, you're like, okay, well, I'm an adult. So I don't think he's, like... I don't think the court is going to be like, oh my god, well, okay. Well, Serial got you, you know. I rule in favor of Serial podcast. You are now out of jail. However, the host of Serial, this lady, I kind of thought she would make, like, a decision at the end, like, you know, definitive. You know what? Here's what I think. I am more familiar with the evidence than anybody. I've been doing this for, like, a fucking probably 2 years or a year. And, I know what I think, and it's this. And the ending didn't do that. They totally copped out. They just were like, this lady was just like, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know what I know. Well, that's serial. You're like, wait a minute. They even did the second to, you know, the penultimate episode, or maybe the ultimate episode, was basically a review of everything. Which had me totally lost, by the way. I wish what they'd done is had, like, I wish they'd just had somebody who hadn't heard of this before that this woman knew, and she was explaining, you know, each episode. She's like, all right, here's what we did in episode one, here's what we did in episode two, and here's what I found out, and here's what I was thinking. And then they just finish it up. And then she could say, you know, based on what I'm seeing, I think this guy did it or not. Because honestly, I thought it was pretty obvious, and I think most of the world has the same opinion, having listened to Serial. Isn't this smart, what I'm doing right now? I'm like, there's this other podcast, and here's what they did, and here's what I think about it, but you should go listen to them right now. I think the guy, whether or not he was guilty, is kind of irrelevant. I felt like at the end, okay, well, they haven't made, you know, I'm not sure enough that he did this. I don't think the evidence is compelling enough to convict this person. Like, I think that regardless of whether or not he did it, I can't say that after listening to all this and hearing all the stuff, I didn't feel very confident in saying, like, you know what? I think that this guy got a fair shake. I think he got fucked a little bit. I think they also just wanted to, like, arrest somebody. And, you know, the longer we go in history, right, like, not history even, but it's just, like, 10 years or something, do we find that we trust the police less or more? I mean, at some point are we going to be like, oh, you should probably have to, like, finish college to be a police officer? It's crazy to me that, you know, we make people finish college to do all these things. Like, you have to finish college to be a teacher, right? Which is, like, makes sense, but also it's like, I don't know, do you really have to fucking get a whole degree? Like, would I have had to take beginning swimming in order to teach high school history or something like that? Like, I don't think so. But you know, and couldn't you just learn a bunch of history and then they could just give you some kind of test, or they'd be like, well, whatever, you just apprentice and become a teacher anyway. But like, so to be a teacher, you have to finish college. Like, there's no such thing as a teacher that hasn't finished college, right? Or to be like a, I don't know, man, to be a fucking anything. Like, don't you have to be finish college to be anything? You have to go to college to play college football, for fuck's sake. You can't play college football if you're not in college. But you can still be a cop having never gone to college. That doesn't seem crazy to people. Like, that doesn't seem, I don't, shouldn't there be a little bit, I know they have like a police academy, and I'm not talking about the hilarious movies, but what I am talking about is, like, they have this police academy, but from what I could tell from motion pictures, seems to be a lot of like monkey bars and shooting paper targets. Doesn't seem to be a lot of like, oh, well, maybe you should know how to deal with a normal person. Or, like, maybe they should take, like, some biology and be like, hey, here's an anatomy, and, like, I don't know, if you shoot someone in the fucking leg, in the knee, they probably won't continue resisting you, but you will probably, you know, they'll fall down. And you don't have to shoot them 9 times in the chest, you could probably shoot them a couple times, and then when, you know, I don't know. Here's a class on, like, surrendering, what that typically looks like. Would you care to enjoy? This is Surrendering 101. This is some. So here's some things that someone might be doing when they're surrendering to you. You know, saying, no, please stop. Saying, I don't shoot. Saying, I don't have a weapon. Holding their hands straight up in the air exactly the way that you asked them to. You know, that kind of shit. So yeah, I don't know. I don't trust the police so much as I feel like they just kind of wanted to put someone behind bars, which seems to be like a common story, right? When you hear about a crime, they're just like, fucking, well, we gotta arrest somebody. You know, they're like, we have to arrest somebody. And it's just like, really? That's more important than arresting, like, the person who did the thing? That seems kind of dumb. That seems pretty foolish. I mean, I don't know. It seems like I don't often hear police outside of TV say something like, you know, we arrested this guy. We had pretty good reason. Like, I'll give you this. The cops had a pretty good set of reasons to initially arrest this person. But then they never say, like, well, we had good reasons to initially arrest him. And, you know, I don't really get involved in the court part. That's not up to me. But I gotta say, I don't think that, I can't say for sure he did it. Okay, here's what I think the answer to serial is. This is my, if I was this lady, here's, I think, what I would have said. I don't know if this person did it or not. And this person kind of seems like the most likely person of the people who were involved in the story here. But that doesn't mean that they were enough of the guilty party to be guilty, right? Like, that doesn't mean you can't just be like, well, he's the most guilty. Oh, okay. Well, as long as he's the most guilty, I guess that'll do, pig. Oh, shit. That's like an insult on cops. See what I did there? That's why you listen to this instead of fucking Serial. God, I don't even know why I started talking about that. I was sick as hell. That's all I wanted to say. I was so sick. I didn't leave my house for a week. Like, and when I say that, I don't mean I didn't go out to the garage until a week after I got sick. You know what I mean? Like, you have to go outside and then into the garage. And I didn't do that for a week, even. I didn't go out of an open door into the outside world. I'll say this, like, the first day, you know what's funny? The first day back at work after you're gone for, like, a week is, like, great in a way. Because when you're just like, this is the first day I've been out of my house for a week, so everything is kind of great. Like, even if the weather sucks, or you're like, I don't really care about these people, you're sort of like, you know what? I'm outside, I'm seeing things, the world does still exist, that's a plus. Like, I feel like an optimist the first day I leave the house after being sick, you know, and I'm like seeing all these things that I was like, oh yeah, this is pretty cool, or like, this is interesting that this is my life. That doesn't last for very long. Like, almost a whole day it lasts, and then it's back to normal. And then I got my performance appraisal. This is a thing we do every year at work. And here's how it goes. You go to... Your boss sends you this paper. And this paper says, like, hey, here's how you did this week, or this year. Sorry, guys, I'm, like, checking my map. This is, like... I don't know what's going on right now. I don't know where I am. I don't think this knows where I am. I don't know if this is sending me home or not. I feel like it's not, but I don't know. But I'm just going to stay on this until I get back to, like, a civilized road for humans. So you get these performance appraisals, and it's, like, the worst thing in the world, right? Because you have to tell everyone else, like, okay, well, here's what, I see what happened. So I had the option to get on the toll road, which I said no thanks. I had, you know, I went to this intersection and it was like, this is the toll road north, this is the toll road south. And I was like, well, I'll just keep going fucking straight. That's not a toll road, right? And that's why I'm fucked. That's why I have to go 10 miles backwards? I don't even know what direction I'm going, you guys. This is nuts. You do these performance appraisals, and it's horrible, because basically you have to be like, all right, list all the stuff you did this year, and, list all your accomplishments, and da-da-da. It's kind of like doing a job, on paper job interview, where you just have to talk about how great you are and whatever. And it just feels dumb because I'm like, I don't know if my boss, like, I don't have quite enough of a relationship with my boss and never have to be like, do you really care what I put on this paper? Like, does it matter to you at all? And I'm not asking that because it's like, it fucking better matter to you. I'm asking that because if it doesn't, let's skip it. I will just copy and paste what I put on here last year or something, or just, you know, a section from Moby Dick, and then we'll just fucking, you know, sit down, I guess. See, that's the other thing. You have to do it on paper. Then your boss does a paper one, you know, based on what you send in. Your boss will be like, okay, well, I did this, and they use this little book that's like effective phrases for performance appraisals, you know, because they don't want to just be like, you did good, son. And this is going to take me an hour to get home. 56 minutes, by the way. I'm 54 miles. This doesn't seem right. I feel like something's gone horribly wrong. Horribly awry. But it doesn't matter. You know what? None of this matters. I'm just going to keep going. Let's just go. Let's just do it. I do think there's a scam going on right now where maybe this GPS is, like, getting kickbacks from the toll road. We have this toll road in Colorado. This is the biggest scheme of all time. Because what they do with the toll road, it's not like, okay, like, if you're in Illinois and you're going out of Chicago or something, you have to take the toll road. There's, like, no choice. The toll road is the road. You cannot get there otherwise. And then other places, what they've done is they've created these toll roads that are like, this is the premium road, right? So the scum, the pieces of shit, go on the regular road, the free road. But hey, you want to take a good ride, a fast ride, you want to get out of the traffic, you know, and it's like much nicer, take the toll road. Which is cool. I'm down with that concept. Because basically, you can choose. And also, whatever, if some people choose to take the toll road, that gets a few people off the road. And that's fine. So you can choose to take the toll road or not. However, I think this is kind of a false choice because I have ended up on the toll road in Colorado like a dozen times without even meaning to. You know, it's just like I'm going along and then there's signs that are like, E470 beginning in 1 mile. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll turn off as soon as I can. And all there is like weird neighborhoods that I'm looking at. You know, I'm not looking at anything that resembles a goddamn, what's the word I'm looking for here? I'm not looking at anything that remotely resembles a legitimate road. You know what I mean? There's nothing that's like a through road. I have no reason to suspect that I will ever get off of... if I go into this neighborhood, I will never come out. You know, I'll just be in this neighborhood. I become a resident of that neighborhood at that point. I might as well, you know, I'll just start picking up the flyers and be like, oh, I guess this one's only 400,000. I don't know, that's not really affordable, but what are you going to do? Hey, there was a plow here. It stopped plowing, but there was a plow here at some time. So yeah, and then you just end up on the toll road, and then you're just fucking, then they send you a bill, you know? They're like, don't worry, we just take a picture with a camera and send you a bill in the mail. And it's not a lot. It'll be like $15. But goddamn, that's bullshit. I think the roads here are like designed to funnel you into the toll road, you know what I mean? And it's just like, oh, well, here's the toll road. I also kind of think the toll road just is basically the alternative route to, you know, the highway. And they just sort of said like, eh, let's just cobble these together and decide it's a toll road. Okay, thanks. That's pretty cool. That was a nice thing for you to do. I told you I was going to tell you a story that I hadn't told you, and let's do it. That was before the cereal thing. So, I was talking about vibrators the other day. Brought back this memory. I found when I was a kid what was definitely my mom's vibrator. Now, it was under the bed, and it was like, it didn't look like a dick, you know, which is, by the way, if you're like a mom and you want to have a vibrator, don't have one that looks like a dick, and I think you could totally get away with it. You know, if it's just like one of these ones that looks like a little, I don't even know, like a teardrop shape and it just vibrates or whatever, that'll work great because kids won't even know. My mom's was a crazy one. You know, it was like it had a handle and then it had a round, flat top. Now, she said it was a back massager, which it could have been. It's possible that it was a back massager. But, I mean, never saw my mom using a back massager. Also, I don't really think the back massager thing is the best excuse, and I'll tell you why. What are you doing, like, reaching behind your own back and massaging your own back? I think the pain of reaching around your own body that way would be just as bad as having a sore back. It's like, why is your back so sore? Probably because you're always fucking screwing around with that massager, and you've got your hands... It's like they're tied behind your back. You know what I mean? That's not a good thing to do. So, she had this back massager, quote unquote. And, we found it under the bed, me and my brother. And then I have this memory of, like, playing with it. You know, because it was like, it had a switch and it starts vibrating. And, you're like, oh, this is... weird and cool, and so, you know, you would like put it on your back and be like, eh, okay, I guess, I don't know. And then I remember my mom was there when we found it and then we're playing with it, and I think she didn't want to just be like, it's a back massager, get the fuck out of here. But we were kind of like toying around with it and, you know, just putting it on stuff and then like putting it on, you know, my foot or whatever. And then I have this memory of like I put it on my head and probably my face, and that was the point when my mom was like, oh, okay, well, we're done with that, put it away. And I was like, yeah, I mean, when your kid's putting your vibrator on their face, that's the end of that game, right? That's high time to put an end to it. I don't know why that story was dormant in my mind for so long, but it totally was. And it was just like, it was one of those things that I don't even think I realized until like a year ago, like, oh, that was a vibrator, because I just didn't think about it. It was like an insignificant moment. I look like a dead cow on the side of the road. My mom, you know, I guess her ploy worked, which was like, I'm going to just tell them it's a fucking back massager and they'll think nothing of it. Because I totally thought nothing of it. I was just like, yeah, it's my mom's back massager. It's for massaging her back. Okay, that's cool. There you go. Oh, young love, huh? Young vibrating love. Oh, God. I went and saw the movie Creed. The new Rocky movie. Because I love the Rocky movies. Let me tell you a little secret about the Rocky movies. Some people love them. Some people don't. And the people who don't are wrong. I don't even know if that's a secret. But that's a thing about them. People who don't love the Rocky movies are fucking wrong. Because they're great. I mean, they're not all great in the same way. I'll give you that. But, like, one is excellent, obviously. Two is pretty good, too. Like, as sequels go, two is pretty good. Three is also acceptable. Four is, like, the crazy action movie of those. Four is over the top in the Rocky universe, right? And by which I don't mean, oh, this movie is so over the top. I mean, it's go over the top, Dad. Turn your hat backwards and arm wrestle a guy at an arcade. And then, of course, Rocky V is terrible, because I don't know what happened with Rocky V. It was terrible. I feel like Creed is what Rocky V was supposed to be, though. It was like a do-over. And Rocky Balboa is excellent. I mean, that's probably my second favorite. So I went and saw Creed with great excitement. And what did I think? It was okay. I liked it. There was a lot to like about it. You know what I didn't like about it, honestly? They had to have this, like, love story that I thought was, like, real tacked on. And I don't know why every fucking story, every movie, every book, it seems like, well, if there's no romance in here, people aren't going to get it. They're going to be like, what's going on? To have people not, I feel like most people go through all significant portions of their life and there's like, oh, yeah, I mean, I didn't really date a lot. I don't think I dated almost all of college. Like, I don't think I went on a date most of college. I think I went on one date from age maybe, I don't know, fucking 19 to 21 or something. And it wasn't like a big deal. It wasn't like I was always on the hunt or something like that or whatever. It was just like, I don't know, I was doing other shit. I wasn't unhappy. It was just like a thing. But yeah, I just thought, I think that's so weird how they do that. And I think that I'd like to see more movies that don't have this unnecessary tacked on portion. Because, like, the love story portion of this movie didn't really satisfy anything. And I think was mostly set up to give us a point in the movie where the main character, you know, kind of loses everything, right? And has to come back again. Which is kind of dumb because in the movie Creed, the character starts with nothing. And then rises to his potential. And it's sort of like, well, we already had the one rise to potential. Do we have to have another temporary fall down and then another rise? Like, let's just have the one rise. Rise of the Planet of the Apes. You don't have Rise of the Planet of the Apes where they rise and then fall down again and rise in the same movie. Just fucking rise the whole time. That's fine. It was also weird because, like, you know, the person he fell in love with was his downstairs neighbor. And it's like, I'll just do minor spoiler. You know, she's a musician, right? And so, you know, she's like, oh, I made this song for you. And of course, they have to make the music. The music is like this weird techno music. I would say it seemed like she was more of a DJ than a musician, which is like, you know, I've made no secret of the fact that I don't respect DJs. And I think it's crazy that that's a job. But that's fine. Or that's something that people are like, oh, can you believe this guy is so good at playing music that somebody else made? But he, like, plays it really good, you know? That's a fucking talent. That's a skill. My God. Who can do that? I see a stoplight up ahead, guys. I just, like, I didn't need it. You know, in the only time in the movie when I was bored wasn't when they even went on their little date. It wasn't like, you know, when they were having their fight about nothing. It was like the part where they're just like making out and you're just, I don't know, they're just like, oh, here's what I don't understand. Why does every fucking director like, okay, we're gonna have this movie, it's a boxing movie, we have Stallone, we've got this Michael B. Jordan, that's awesome. I'm gonna need a shot of them like dry humping. You know, Michael B. Jordan and his girlfriend are gonna have to be dry humping. That's a scene that we need. That's something we need to watch. We need to watch them, like, make out weirdly. And that's an important part of this movie. Because if we didn't show that, how would people know that they made out before? I mean, I just don't... It's weird to me. I guess I don't like... Maybe I'm a prude. I just don't really like watching other people make out. It's fine to watch people fuck on a porno. This is, I guess, maybe this is my weird maleness or something. I'm not really into watching other people make out, especially in like a lovey movie context. I mean, maybe part of it is I have this like continued issue in life where more and more I find it very difficult to like escape into the movies. You know, when I was younger, not even a kid, but when I was like 15, I could watch a movie and I wasn't thinking about anything besides what was happening on the screen. And people would be like, oh, the acting was bad or whatever. And I would be like, I never noticed acting, you know, because to me it was just like, what do you mean? Yeah, Kurt Russell is Snake Plissken. And I don't mean that as like a, you know, my clever movie. Snake Plissken. Kurt Russell is Snake Plissken. 5 stars. I just mean it like, I just took it totally for granted. I was like, fucking, yeah, that's what he is. That's who he is in this movie. That's what I'm supposed to be seeing happen right now. And that's what I will continue to watch, is Kurt Russell being Snake Plissken. And now, for some reason, like, the makeout stuff, I can still watch action, and I kind of, you know, I'm not thinking, like, oh, that's Michael B. Jordan, or, like, oh, that's just some British guy, or whatever. But now, I think that, like, it's when they're making out that I think about that the most. That I get the most into thinking, oh, I wonder if that's weird. And, you know, when they're dry humping and it's like, yeah, that's got to be fucking kind of weird. I think that always must be weird. I know they probably say, like, oh, no, it's fine. You know, oh, this person's such a gentleman and I respect this person. And I don't even think it's about that. It's just about, like, if someone said, like, hey, you guys are going to do, like, a little consensual dry hump for money with no shirts on. I'd be like, okay, well, that's weird. I mean, I'm not terrified, but I'm not real excited. I am getting off the toll road right now. I was on it for less than a mile, and now I'm going to have to pay, like, $12. It's just the most, it stands out to me in that way. I just always, when I see those parts, I'm like, very aware of what's going on right now and that it's a movie. Very aware that I'm watching film right now and in a way that I wish I wasn't. So that's the thing. I don't know. I read this comic this year called Drinking at the Movies. This motherfucker in a van is going probably 15 miles an hour below the speed limit, with his turn signal on, indicating I don't know what, because we're on a road that's like, you know, we're on an overpass. There's nowhere to go. And the next move he makes is going to be merging to the left, and he's got his right turn signal on. So that's pretty cool. I read this book, this comic called Drinking at the Movies, and it was by Julia Wirtz. And it was great. And I liked it. It was like a comic book memoir, and it was funny, and it had stuff that wasn't as funny, but was, like, not supposed to be. And I think what I liked about it, and I didn't even know it, but, you know, the whole time I was like, when's the romance part going to crop up? Because we know this is coming, right? We all know we're going to see some fucking romance here. And we didn't. We did not see that. We got no romance. And I fucking loved that. That made me so happy, because I didn't even realize how tired I am of that. Like, everything has to be that. Everything's got to be romantic. And if it doesn't have a romantic plot to it, it's just like, fuck it. Who cares? And it's like, a lot of stories have a romantic plot, or a lot of stories lend themselves well to a romantic plot. But if your story doesn't need it, why would you put it in there? I mean, we don't see a lot of movies with a fucking goddamn jetpack in it. And I think that's because, you know, we don't need it. It's like, if you told me in Creed, if I was making Creed and then Stallone or whoever was like, yeah, let's put a jetpack in here, I think I'd be like, I don't think we need it. And it seems like something that's just going to sort of distract from the story a little bit. And, right? I mean, is that not right? I think that's correct. So, if we're just going to distract from the story, why even do it? You know what I mean? Like, let's just not do this thing. Let's move on. Let's do something else. Let's do something besides the romance. It doesn't need to be there. It doesn't support the story. It doesn't even really fit in with the story. That was my main problem with Creed and the romance and why it was so obvious. Or, you know, like, this is a movie I rail against all the time. Dodgeball. And let me tell you why I fucking hate Dodgeball. First of all, it's not very funny. Secondly, this was a movie made where we were like, you know what would be funny is if a guy just talked like a pirate for no reason. And we'll just let that happen. Third, it doesn't know what it is. Because it's like, okay, at one point, it's realistic-ish, and then at another point, a guy is throwing wrenches at people. I don't understand it. I don't understand the movie. I don't understand what's happening in the movie. And I think that's why I hated it so much. But also, I hated it because at the end, it kind of tacks on this, like, hey, the sports in this movie matter, which I'm like, I don't think they do. And then even later, they're like, also, hey, romance, let's do... Oh my god, there's a wreck or something up here. That's fucking great. They do romance. You don't need the romance in Dodgeball. I don't need the romance. I don't need the sports story. This is just chock full of stuff I do not need. You know? I just don't really need it. Oh my god. I think we're at a standstill up here. Oh boy. Oh boy. Okay. Well, with that, on that positive note, I'm going to go ahead and end this just so my battery doesn't die and we get a show here. But after this, three more, and we'll have done 52 this year. We'll have done the equivalent of one a week for the year. I know it hasn't been that regular, but we've done the raw number. So small victories. We take small victories where we can, which is here. Thanks for listening, and until next time, I've been Pete.